Good morning, brothers and sisters. Time is flying. It's already October. We are so thankful that the Lord has looked after every one of us and our family so that we can have a safe, peaceful life. May the Lord lead us to have an abundant life. A lot of people have this experience that when you go to a park or when you go hiking, you often see stones that have been stacked. Just like the pictures showed us. It seems the practice is a kind of a commemoration. In fact, there is a very important landmark recorded in the book of Joshua. It's a memorial made of 12 large stones. So today's topic is setting up memorial stones. We all know that after the Israelites crossed the Jordan River, they didn't go fight immediately. Instead, they were waiting there for the Lord's commandment, for the Lord's command. The Lord told Joshua to choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from the very place where the priests were standing, and carry them over with them and lay them down in the place where they lodged. Many people are wondering, what does God mean by telling them to do this? Let's listen to what Joshua had to say to the 12 tribes in the book of Joshua, chapter 4, verse 5 through 7, and said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So we know that Israel has 12 tribes. The Lord asked them to choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe. So the Lord wants them to remember that this is God's great deed. Where were the Israelites encamped? At Gilgal. If you check the map, you will see it is 2 kilometers east of Jericho, and it is also the place where the Israelites first to set up camp after they passed over the Jordan River. When they crossed the Jordan River, why they did not attack Jericho at once? Instead, they stayed at Gilgal because God has His timing. Actually, 4 big events happened here at Gilgal. The first one is the supply of manna, which came down from heaven while they were in the wilderness ceased. For they could eat the produce of the land of Canaan. We all know that there are a lot of fresh produce in the land of Canaan. Because the Israelites need manna no more. The second is setting up stones as a memorial. 12 stones were set up in the midst of the Jordan River, and the other 12 stones were set up at Gilgal. If you have read chapter 4 carefully, you will see that there are two sides for this event of setting up stone memorial. The purpose was to testify the mighty deeds of the Lord and remind their future generations of God's grace. The third is, at Gilgal, all the Israelites were to be circumcised because it was a sign of the covenant with the Lord. We all know that the old generation that followed Moses from Egypt all died in the wilderness. And the new generations of the Israelites hadn't been circumcised. So after they arrived at Gilgal, they need to be circumcised because it was a sign of the covenant with the Lord. And the Lord is the God of keeping his promise. And the first one is at Gilgal, the Israelites also had to keep the Passover first. We all know that Passover was to remember how God led them out of slavery in Egypt. So at Gilgal, the Israelites first have to keep the Passover. Many may wonder, didn't the Israelites cross the Jordan River to attack Jericho? Why did God command the Israelites to do these four things when they camped at Gilgal before the attack? Of course, there are reasons for that. Today, we are going to focus on what does it really mean to set up stones as a memorial. Printing at that time was not as developed as it is today. So many things were passed down orally from parents to children and grandchildren, from generation to generation. It's through a way of storytelling that they will pass down their culture and their history. Therefore, the Lord God commanded the Israelites to take up stones from the middle of the Jordan River and set them up as a memorial, that the descendants of Israel may remember God's amazing deeds. God continually led the people of Israel with grace and fulfilled his promise, which is to bring them into the land of Canaan. If you read the several books from the Old Testament, from Genesis to Joshua, you will know that God always keeps his promise, and he always led the people of Israel with grace. Not only did God help them to overcome all the difficulties, God also fulfilled his promise. But the Israelites forgot so often. So in chapter 4, verse 20 through 24, I'll read them again. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. He said to the Israelites, "In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over.'" And verse 24 is very important. "He did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful." And so that you might always fear the Lord your God. That's the real purpose. To let all people know this is mightiness of our Lord. Let everyone know that our Lord is the only true God. And we have to remember that there are two sites for this event of setting up memorial stones. One is in the middle of the Jordan, where the Levites stood carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And the other place is Gilgal, where the Israelites encamped. So there are two sites in total. We see that God is well intended to remind the descendants of Israel never to forget God's grace. So let us continue with chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant Law to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan," and the priests came up out of the river carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before. The reason why I read these verses is that we need to pay attention to the special point in the special time here. You will notice that at the point in time, as soon as the Levites bearing the Ark of the Covenant came up from the river, the water of the Jordan returned to their place as before. In particular, I'd like to emphasize the Ark of the Covenant as a symbol of God's presence. We all know that the of the nations in the land of Canaan are very strong. But the Israelites don't know how to fight. So from the perspective of their own situation, they have no advantage. That's why it's very important for them to know that the Lord is always with them. Did you know that in the future, we will still be able to see the Ark of the Covenant in heaven? Let's look at Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Let us all read together. Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of his covenant, and there came flashes of lightning, rumbling, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and a severe hailstorm. So in the future, when we go to heaven, we will see the Ark of the Covenant in heaven. God's temple in heaven was opened, and within his temple was seen the Ark of his covenant. This scene took place after the seventh angel blew his trumpet. I'll read them to you in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 through 17. Let us read together. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven, which said, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who were seated on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, 'We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign.'" And we have a Sunday school who is currently learning the book of Revelation. So this background tells us that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. With this background, we will understand that when God's temple in heaven was open, the Ark of his covenant was seen within his temple. So the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament did not disappear. And the Ark of the Covenant is a symbol of God's presence. Therefore, God's presence shows his care, his protection, and his help. This, of course, made the Israelites very confident. Thank God, because he's the God of Emmanuel, and he will always be with us. Our Lord is with us every moment. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Therefore, no matter what difficulties you may encounter today, remember that God is with you. He will never give up on you. Please remember my words. Our Lord will never give up on you, but he will help you rise above your distress. You have to rely on him wholeheartedly. never doubt. Especially after you have been a Christian for 5 to 10 years, you will know that the Bible tells us, don't doubt. May God help to strengthen our faith, because God loves you, and His mighty power is beyond our imagination. I have this habit, like every morning I will walk in my community and pray. And reflect on several things about my service. And I always pray to the Lord to give me wisdom to serve Him. And I always think, as people who are saved by grace, our life should be filled with joy and hope. As Christian, we should be joyful. When we are under pressure, we do worry a little bit. But we know that our Heavenly Father will look after us. He has promised us He will be with us all the time. He even counts our hairs. He will not give up on us. His love is beyond our imagination. As parents, we love our children. We care about their health, their safety, and everything. And God's love is beyond our imagination. May God help us have this understanding. So when we are under pressure, we can gain victory through the Lord, and we'll be able to live a faithful life. And this is the biggest difference between those having no faith and us. If we have the same reaction upon the bad news, just as people having no faith, what is the difference between us and those having no faith? So, you should always do what you should do. We can do all these daily things with a prayer to the Lord. So the more difficult the situation is, the more we can live an abundant and a wonderful life. But we should do what we should do. But do not live under fear. May God help us have this understanding. Now back to Joshua chapter 4, verse 24. there are two key points we need to think about carefully. The first one is to make all the people of the earth know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Our Lord is not only the true living God, He's the mighty God. Everything is under His control. We need to remember that our Lord is a mighty Lord. And the second point is to make everyone fear the Lord forever. From the first point, which continues through the New Testament, we notice that God attaches great importance to His own name. Do you know why? If some friends or people in other religion ask you, why do Christians always say that your God is the only true God? Why don't you be more inclusive? You can tell them that our Lord is only one true God. Because we know that all the other gods are false gods. In the Old Testament, many nations worshipped idols, which were false and deceiving. And even today, there are still many different idols that confuse many people and make them forget to worship the one true God. Especially as God's creatures, we are supposed to worship the one and only Creator. But unfortunately, many people choose to worship idols. From the perspective of spiritual warfare, Satan is laughing there because he has misled many people, and Satan will try harder to confuse more people so that more people will not find the true God of love and grace. Satan always uses money, fame, status to block your sight so that you will only see those things without knowing that God is searching for His people. That's why God cares so much about people giving Him the glory He deserves. Just think about it. God had done so many miracles on this earth in the past. Yet, there are so many who do not believe in Him or even deny His mighty deeds. How do you think God feels about that? How do you think God feels about that? And this brings us to the second key point, that we are meant to fear God. Please read Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Let us all read together. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for their children it will be a refuge. Don't you see how nice this is? Your fear of God is not only a refuge for yourself, but also a refuge for your children. It tells us that as a Christian, if you lead a life fearing the Lord, not only will you have God as your refuge, your children, will also have their refuge. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is God's grace for those who fear him. Let's look at Revelation chapter 15, verse 4, which I like very much. Let us read together. Who will not fear you, Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. We all know that the writer of author of the book of Revelation is John. Here, John was not in a tone of exhortation. He said, "Who dares? Who will not fear you? Then prepare yourself for the righteous judgment of God." Lord, who will not fear you and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. I hope all of you can remember this Bible verse. God deserves his glory. And we should not only fear God ourselves, but also lead our family to fear God. At the same time, we also need to seize every opportunity to spread God's name and good. Let more people know the salvation from Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the incarnate Lord, who rose from the dead, proved that he had overcome the power of Satan, and he will come again. May I ask why he's coming again? You tell me. For the final judgment. Judge all the nations. And God is faithful. The other thing you need to understand is that there were more than 600,000 Israelites who were able to easily cross the Jordan River while its water ran at flood stage. And they crossed the Jordan River easily through God's mighty power. And they came safely to the place called Gilgal and were encamped there. This was a very terrifying thing for the people who lived in Canaan. When they heard the news that 600,000 people crossed the Jordan River while its water ran at flood stage, they were scared. They were not afraid of the Israelites, but of the God of Israel. And also seven nations of Canaan at that time were idolatry. But when they heard that the God of Israel actually fought for Israel, as Moses said, "The Lord is my banner," all of them were terrified. The great name of God will be known everywhere because only he is a true and living God. Now let's go back to these stones. What do they tell us? Shall we all reflect on whether we have faced our own Jordan River in our past lives? And God had carried us through the most difficult time. Do you remember when you were struggling? If it had not been for the Lord, things could have been terrible, right? Do we remember God's special grace in our lives? Do we find opportunities to tell our children about those amazing work of God? Or even write down a testimony to record the help of the Lord Jesus? Dear brothers and sisters, as Thanksgiving is coming, our church offers everyone an opportunity to gather together and speak about God's grace in me, you, and everyone. I encourage you to stand up and bear witness to the Lord so that we can witness the wonderful deeds of the true and living Lord, His timely help, and the work of the Holy Spirit in solving the problems of many. For those who would love to share your testimony at Thanksgiving, please sign up with Brother Jack. Please also pray for me, because in our program of Forge Ahead, its audience is mainly brothers and sisters. We are planning to share a series of Knowing God's Six Attributes. And if someone asks you, what are the attributes of God? You can answer that God is merciful, God is righteous, God is holy, God is faithful, God is omnipotent, God is salvation. Did you know that all theologies are based on the six attributes of God? I hope you will remember that the traits of our Forge Ahead program are simple and to the point, usually no more than 5 minutes, the best of the best. I want to say thank you to Brother Jack's help. I encourage each cell group to spare your time to watch, study, and discuss. Especially during the pandemic, we have been serving brothers and sisters in 5 churches from different states through the Forge Ahead program. So the advantage of our Forge Ahead program is simple and to the point. And on October 17th, we will have our guest speaker, Brother Asian, and I will give a sermon in Bowling Spring. And I will have a 2-hour drive. I'm very joyful that I can share God's grace. Please pray for me, that I will have a healthy body that I can share the message with the brothers and sisters there. Let's go back to Joshua 4. The very important purpose of setting up memorial stones was to remind the descendants of Israel not to forget God's grace, because we forget so often. In the New Testament, of the 10 lepers Jesus once healed, only one came back to say thank you. and that person was a Gentile. The only one came back to say thank you is not an Israelite, but a Gentile. It's so ironic. So as a disciple of Jesus, we need to ask the Lord to help us in our daily life, not only to become grateful people, but also to repay the grace we received. We have to do something to repay the favor. Be more productive spiritually, and be more positive spiritually. I am 17 right now, and I'm still very productive through all the programs I have been serving. I encourage all of you to be more productive and be more positive spiritually. So what exactly are we supposed to do? Three things. First one, take Sunday worship seriously because it's a consecrated day. And we should reverently honor and praise the Lord of grace on Sunday. Take Sunday worship seriously. No matter you are worshiping in the sanctuary or you are worshiping at home, please be dressed up and worship the Lord on time. Even if you are at home, you should take Sunday worship seriously because it's a consecrated day. The second one, we should remind one another of God's grace. I encourage you to participate Sunday school and Friday cell group Bible study. In our big family, it's very important for us to encourage one another. If someone in our church is alone, please tell me. I will find a cell group for him or her so that he will be our family and have the support he needs. The third one is pray more, care more about people in need, and spread more about the good news. Someone may say that they don't know how to pray, but you definitely can say the three words, thanks the Lord. Then you can say, thanks the Lord for his grace. Thanks the Lord for his healing. Thanks the Lord for his teaching. Thanks the Lord for his comfort. And thanks the Lord for his guidance. With only a few words, thanks the Lord, you will find a lot to be thankful. What matters is whether you have a willing heart to pray. Because prayer is a natural thing. It doesn't matter if your prayer is long or short. We all know that when your children grow up, if you leave, you don't live together, your children know that. Your children always send you a short message or call you frequently. You will feel that. You feel that your children cares about you. And our Heavenly Father hopes that we want to be connected with him. When you pray, the Lord will be with you. When our heart is connected to God, the Lord is pleased. That's why I always ask you to pray more and care about your relationship with God. You can pray to the Lord that today what I can do for others and what I can, how can I serve the church? As long as you have a willing heart, the Lord will see it. If you agree, please say amen. When we are connected with God, God is pleased. And for me, after 30 years of serving the Lord, my heart is getting more and more joyful. As a Christian, if you do nothing to serve the Lord, I really don't know what to say to encourage you, except for praying for you. May the Lord help us. Next, I'd like to share with you a small bonsai in the shape of an angel, which I bought more than 30 years ago. I bought this in a garage sale. When I see this little angel, I really love it. I moved 3 times, and every time I will pack this little angel-shaped bonsai carefully and still keep this with me, wishing to remind myself of God's grace. It is still in my office. When I was called by the Lord in California, I always be so grateful that the Lord had called me to serve him. And I'm so grateful that I have the chance to serve every brothers and sisters in our church. You're so wonderful for me that I can serve the church joyfully. And Brother Jack has a lot of talents, and we work together to serve others during the pandemic. I mean, we can serve people from all over the world. And some Christians wear a necklace of a cross, which is good. Not only as a pendant, but also as a reminder. We really need to be reminded, especially by the Holy Spirit, lest our eyes will always see things we shouldn't, and our ears hear gossip, which are displeasing to God. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. I'll read it to you. Um, my son gave me, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. Let me allow me to emphasize one more thing. Every Christian is a disciple of Jesus and a good soldier of Christ. We have been fighting a spiritual war all the time. It never stops, but a lot of times we just don't realize it. So the Apostle Paul exhorts us to be spiritual. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Let us read together. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. So, did you see what is the difference between us and people having no faith? We have the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. We have received the Spirit from God, His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, teaches us, and helps us. I don't know what to say, but the only thing I can do is work harder for the Lord. Do my best. May God help us with this message, setting up memorial stones. You can remember God's grace in the past, and so that we can be used by the Lord as valuable vessel to proclaim the salvation of Jesus Christ, so that all nations on the earth will know God's name and fear the Lord. Let us pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us the message from Joshua chapter 4. We know the message you have given us through setting up the memorial stone. To help us to be grateful and be willing to bear witness and for your sake. And to tell more people about your amazing deeds. May the Lord lead our church so that we can serve our community. We believe that we will gain victory through the Lord. All the glory be to the Lord. Pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.